You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Earlier this week, Foreign Minister Winston Peters announced that the government would be announcing its position on the recognition of a Palestinian state over the course of the next month. This announcement was made in the lead-up to the UN General Assembly in September, where world leaders, such as the Prime Ministers of France and Australia, promised to recognize a Palestinian state. Also this week, Green Party Wellington MPs Julianne Genter and Tamatha Paul launched a petition calling for Maori place names to be restored to Wellington electorates after the Rongotai electorate was recently renamed to the English name of Wellington Bays. And the latest Taxpayers Union Courier poll was recently released, which showed that Labour had overtaken National as the largest party, gaining 2 points to 33.6%, while National dropped 2.1 points to 31.8%. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, we spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March to get the party's take on all of these issues. To begin, what was the Green Party's reaction to Winston Peters' announcement concerning the recognition of a Palestinian state?
Well, first of all, there is no clear plan to do the absolute bare minimum, which is to recognize Palestinian statehood. And for all the talk of the Prime Minister about taking an independent foreign policy, he is far more aligned with the Trump administration on this issue than the rest of the world. We're actually now one of the few countries in the world who hasn't committed to a proper and immediate recognition of Palestinian statehood while a genocide is happening. Children are starving and journalists are being killed by their own admission by Israeli forces.
Are you confident that the government will make the decision to recognize a Palestinian state over the course of the next month?
No, because the government has had years to do it. But we've got to take it back to the biggest issue here, which is the genocide that is unfolding. And they need to do far more than recognition of Palestinian statehood. We need to put sanctions on Israel and advocate far more for Israel to stand down and to join the ICJ case to hold Israel to account for its war crimes. The biggest challenge that we have here is that without consequences, Israel will continue its genocidal campaign and that will leave more children being actively starved by Israel and more journalists who are telling the truth and shining a spotlight on this genocide being murdered.
Peters said that the demilitarization of Hamas would be a needed prerequisite for New Zealand to recognize Palestine, with David Seymour additionally saying that all Israeli hostages in Gaza would need to be released as well. How would you respond to that?
Even Israeli families are alarmed at the Israeli government's new plan to fully take over the city of Gaza, and they recognize that that will put the lives of those Israeli people in Gaza at risk. And at no point, Luxon or Seymour seem to show any level of concern for the lives of Palestinian children who are being starved to death. And it shows that they're far more aligned with the Trump administration, who is supporting a genocidal campaign, than standing up for human rights and their basic humanity. This will be a stain in our record for a country that claims to have led the way on, for example, giving women the right to vote, on taking a nuclear-free stance, and now we've completely abandoned those values and have decided to side with Trump and his genocide apologist to politics.
Alongside recognizing a Palestinian state, how would a Greens-led government diplomatically approach the situation in Gaza and the establishment of a two-state solution?
Immediate recognition of Palestinian statehood is indeed one of the first steps that we can take. But right now, the focus needs to be on stopping this genocide, because there will be nothing left to protect in Gaza if we don't put consequences on Israel. And what that includes is, again, sanctioning Israel, ensuring that our government agencies divest from any funds that support Israel as well, and that we join the ICJ case to hold Israel to account for its war crimes. A two-state solution cannot happen if Israel is intending on taking over Gaza and basically annexing it. So this is why the immediate and most pressing issue is to stop the killing and starving of people on the ground in Gaza.
I'd also like to ask you about Chloe Swarbrick's ejection from Parliament yesterday by Speaker Jerry Brownlee for comments she made during the debate on the recognition of Palestine. What kind of a message do you think her ejection sends to everyone looking at how New Zealand is handling the situation in Gaza at the moment?
I think people can see it for what it is, which is that government and peace seem far more offended about the critiques of their inaction to to tackle a genocide unfolding in front of our eyes and being live streamed on our phones than the genocide itself. What the speaker did yesterday is unprecedented. I myself had the opportunity to challenge the speaker on this issue. He walked back the sort of suspension for a week and reduced it to a day. But then he's now going to be requiring Chloe to basically apologize today, as far as we know. And what this shows again is that government and peace, and the speaker unfortunately included, seem far more interested in optics around pretty tame language rather than the killing of children and the starvation of a whole people in Gaza.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Green Party Wellington MPs Julianne Genta and Tamatha Paul have recently launched a petition calling for Māori place names to be restored to Wellington electorates. This comes after the Rongotai electorate was recently renamed to the English name of Wellington Bays just last week. So next I'd like to ask, can you tell us about the petition and its calls from your perspective?
Our Wellington Bays MPs are really concerned about the fact that, at least when it comes to Rongotai, which is a Māori name that basically talks about how we feel the coast, has been now changed to Wellington Bays, following literally about, I think it was three submissions against it. And the concern that we have around this is that this is part of an affront towards Te Reo Māori. You know, today we've just seen how Erica Stanford is basically removing all Māori words from books and the education system out of wanting to prioritize English without acknowledging that Māori is one of our official languages. And so we want to make sure that we protect Māori place names where we do have them, that we treat Te Reo Māori as the taonga that it is, and that we focus on actually investing in an education system that allows people to learn Te Reo Māori in order to fulfill our Te Reti obligation.
Do you think that this specific name change might begin a trend that might continue for other electorates across the country?
It could well be, but it is already a trend across the country led by particularly people in positions of power, including in our government, to take away Māori names from our institutions and our places, all because these people in positions of power are wanting to basically attack Māori rights, Māori sovereignty, and pretend that Māori don't have the important and critical place in Aotearoa as one of the Te Reti partners who allow people like yourself and myself to be in this land to begin with.
The Representation Commission said that the new names in Wellington were changed purely to reflect the geographic areas the electorates now cover. How would you respond to that?
That's actually incorrect, and the fact that this was led by literally about, I think it was three submissions against it, shows that this was a decision that was probably more led by an ideological approach that is anti-Te Reo Māori. And again, if we look at even just what is happening this morning with Erica Stanford further attacking Te Reo Māori in our education system, it just shows that we have a problem with people in positions of power wanting to undermine Māori rights and Māori sovereignty. And as a migrant to this country, I know that Te Tiriti is the thing that allows me to be in this place, and I want all of us to fight for the rights of Te Reo Māori to be treated for the taonga that it is, so that we can all thrive.
All right, moving on to the last topic. The latest Taxpayers Union Curia poll was recently released, which showed that Labour had overtaken National as the largest party, gaining 2 points to 33.6%, while National dropped 2.1 points to 31.8%. Additionally, the Greens' approval rating had increased by 0.4 points to 9.8%, while ACT and NZ First had fallen by 0.5 and 2% respectively. So next I'd like to ask, what was the Green Party's reaction to the poll numbers?
We've always been pretty cynical about polling results, because if we had heard the polls and taken that as an indication of our mahi, we would have never won the seats of Auckland Central, Wellington Central and Rongotai, where the polls were showing us that it was almost impossible to win them. This is why our focus has been on talking to people on the ground, getting out there in our communities and talking to new audiences to build power, to make sure that this is a one-term government and that we can put in place policies that create 40,000 jobs, that ensure that we can tax the rich so that people can have adequate things like healthcare. And this is where our focus is. Polls will show every political party moving up and down every now and then, but the only result that matters is actually the number of people we talk to and the election results.
Will the shift in voter preferences indicated in this poll have an impact on the Greens' campaign strategy going forward?
No, because we are led by our values, our connections to our communities, and our desire to make sure that we're on the ground talking to as many people as we can. And I'm really proud that we have a group of volunteers and organizers who are getting out there in the communities at market stalls, door knocking for the local government election campaigns, and who are focused on building power where it lies, which is with the people, not necessarily in places like Parliament.
And how would a Greens-led government address the anxieties shared by voters who answered this poll?
What we've seen in polls, but also with the feedback on the ground, is that people are concerned about the fact that jobs are being cut and people are being left without adequate employment opportunities while people on the benefits suffer. This is why our focus relies on creating 40,000 jobs in the construction sector, as well as in Jobs for Nature, which allows us to protect our waterways and our streams to prevent floods in our communities. This is where the focus is, and this is the these are the conversations we're having on the ground about how we can build an Aotearoa that works for all of us, not just greedy corporations.
And that was Green Party MP Ricardo Menendez-March talking to us about the government's plan to consider recognizing a Palestinian state, the Greens' petition to restore Te Reo names to Wellington electorates, and the most recent Taxpayers Union Curia poll.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.